We're going to get back to our study on Psalm 107. So find your place there. And I want to remind you again of the diagram. It's the one on the spirit world. And I have to constantly remind us all of this because I'm going to make a statement. And in conjunction with this diagram, we look at Psalm 107. And what Psalm 107 means in terms of the spirit world. Now, let me draw your attention to something, and listen closely to what I'm about to say. Most people are trapped by the physical world and by the trappings of the physical world, and we think we relegate our relationship to God down to only that paradigm. In other words, God help me where I am. Well, what we need to understand is the geographical location of your physical body is not necessarily the geographical location of who you really are. According to the Word of God in the book of Ephesians, you've already been raised to sit with Christ in heavenly places. Everybody say amen to that.
Amen.
Matter of fact, I'm going to say it again. In Christ, because you got saved, you have been raised to sit with Christ in heavenly places. That is a present tense reality. So though you are here, you are also there. Everybody say amen to that.
Amen.
Now, here's what that means. Whether people acknowledge this or whether they don't, this is another present tense reality. The spirit world is manifesting itself in the physical world right now. Whether people acknowledge it or not is irrelevant. For example, watch this. How many of you believe there's a heaven and there's a hell? All right, how many of you believe that it doesn't matter whether you believe that or not, it's still there? Okay, watch. The invasion of the spirit world into the physical world is a present tense reality, whether people acknowledge it or not. So, you're being affected by the spirit world in your existence on the physical world even now. So, by all of the environment of the spirit world, you're being affected. So what is it that's in the spirit world? Well, here's what we know, that we have been raised to sit with Christ in heavenly places, Ephesians says, which is far above principalities and powers, even the rulers of the darkness of this age. There's a reason why Satan's called the prince of the power of the air. What was Satan doing when he confronted God concerning Job? He said, I've been walking to and fro, seeking whom I may devour. So in the spirit world, we see the God of this age at the top line, all across the top of the earth, in the dimension, the second heavens, there is a warfare going on. If the spirit world is affecting the physical world, it means this. You can be affected either by the presence of demons or by the presence of Christ. The judge of how you're being affected is your own attitude and your own behavior. You hearing what I'm saying? So therefore, it is possible to be sitting in the pew of a church during a church service and come under the effect of demonic forces. And it can be as subtle and as gentle as your mind wandering from the truth. Or it can be as detrimental as drawing a judgmental conclusion towards someone else. Any contrary emotion from the Word of God or person of Christ is the effect of a demonic force. Now, here's what brings you into captivity to that. Now, and there's a whole teaching on this, and I'm not going to get into it here, but there's a whole teaching on this. I want you to listen to this. The thoughts that you have are not necessarily your thoughts. How many of you have ever been praying, and in the middle of your praying, some hideous thought races across your mind, and you'll come under condemnation to that and think, how evil I must be. Has that ever happened to anybody? Can I tell you that wasn't your fault? That was a mere suggestion from the spirit world and those that dwell in the spirit world. And if you take ownership of it, you'll come under bondage to it. Everybody say amen. Amen. So just because a thought races across your mind that's hideous or evil or wicked doesn't necessarily mean that's you. That can be a suggestion from a demon. You lay ownership of it when you claim it as your own and come under the guilt and the condemnation and the shame and the power of that thought. Amen. Everybody shake your head and say amen.
Amen.
Now watch this. Just as a demonic force can suggest thoughts into your mind, so can the Holy Spirit of God. And how are we transformed? The Bible says by the renewing of our mind, which is why the Apostle Paul says, think on these things, and then trains us how to think. Everybody say amen to that. How do we pull down strongholds? By casting down imaginations. By casting down the thoughts that are contrary to the teachings of the Word of God. So therefore, it calls into question what we're actually designed for. Now, I'm going to say this at this point, and then we'll go on with the teaching here, all right? And I want you to hear me. This is important that you hear this. How many of you believe that God is the only one that creates? Satan can merely imitate. He doesn't have the power of creation. But God is our creator. How many of you believe that? All right, listen to this. You are designed by God to be a vessel of the Holy Spirit and a vessel of honor. That is your purpose and design. Anything that guides you in a contrary motion against that design will cause you to misfunction. You are misfunctioning based off of your design. If you take a part, a mechanical part that is designed to do a specific thing and try to make it do something else, you might even pull it off by somehow rigging it to do so. But can I tell you, that part is not doing what it's designed to do. Everybody say amen to that. You're designed to follow Christ. You're designed by the Father to be a vessel of honor. You're designed by the Father to fulfill His plan of you being an ambassador and representative of Christ on planet Earth. That's your design. That's your whole purpose. Not to fulfill that purpose is to work in contradiction to the Word of God. Everybody say amen to that. Now I get back to this awfully important passage of Scripture in Psalm 107, and here's why. Because there has been, everybody say I'm listening. Because there has been such an increase, and in my lifetime, I have to say this, there's been such an increase of the spirit world presence on planet Earth. And we know, and I can prove to you by Scripture, that there is going to be this intensifying of this demonic force on the earth as time grows darker and as time comes closer to the end. It's going to intensify on the earth. The blindness, the darkness of governments of the world and as well as people of the world is going to continuously grow darker as we grow older. Because we are living in the final days, the final moments before the church is to be called away. And as a result of that, this invasion of the spirit world into the physical world will begin to have more and more impact and effect on your life. It can draw you closer to Christ. It can draw us as a unit closer together. It can also lead you further astray if you allow it to. So it depends on what part of the spirit world you're more connected to. I can already tell you this. I've tested this equation, so I know it's true. If you tie yourself more to this world than you do to the spirit world, you will become a victim of what this world is affected by, which is the powers of darkness. Everybody say amen to that. So the church needs to learn how to be a warring and victorious army in this dark world that is being invaded by spiritual darkness. How do we do that? We have discovered from Psalm 107 that the weapon of our warfare, which by the way is not carnal, but that is mighty through the pulling down of strongholds, is this element of praise. It is one of the most important weapons in our arsenal. If the people of God does not learn how to properly praise the Lord, you will be subject to the darkness that surrounds you. You will also take ownership of the very thoughts that lead you into great deception and great delusion. You will also be accompanied to the shame and the reproach and condemnation that is assigned to cause you to malfunction, if you will, concerning how you are designed to function. That's what it's designed to do. So Psalm 107 begins, and we've read it many times, and we're going to talk about what constitutes our praise. But we start again with verse 1, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." So look up here. Three elements are mentioned in this chapter that constitutes praise. We'll get into them: the goodness of the Lord, His mercy, and His wonderful works to the children of men. This is what constitutes our praise. So everybody say, "I'm listening." Let's declare this. God is a good God. Everybody say it.
God is a good God.
One more time. God is a good God. Say it.
God is a good God.
Can I tell you that is the constitution of your praise? You say, "But it doesn't appear by looking around me that God is a good God." That's because you're trapped by this physical world and you're not walking in the spirit world properly. Everybody say amen. Amen. If you judge the works of God based only on planet Earth, you're going to be disappointed. We don't serve the Lord for temporary gain. We serve the Lord for eternal reward. Did y'all catch what I just said?
Amen.
Listen to what Paul said in one place. He's fixing to die. They're fixing to kill him. And he knows it. Did you hear what I just said there? He was preaching Jesus. He was in jail. And he knew that they were fixing to kill him. Would that be a situation where you'd say, "God, where are you? I mean, come on. This Lord, where are you at?" Well, what did Paul say? Paul said, "It's fine. I fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me," listen to this, "a crown of righteousness, which the Lord's going to give me." You know what it teaches us? Where we are right now is not crowning day. This is cross-bearing day. There's coming crowning day. We're not there yet. We're going to get there. Amen. But watch this. This is cross-bearing day. So this element of praise is about being able to declare that God is a good God above what's going on planet Earth in your life. He's good regardless of what's happening. Say amen to that. So here it says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He's good." Three elements that constitutes our praise: the goodness of the Lord and His mercy. Now I want to tell you something. Every person sitting here right now ought to be able to declare that God's been merciful to you. Has God not showed you manifold grace? Let me just, can I make this announcement right quick that makes me feel better? And it might be just merely psychological to some who are listening, but I know that there's a spiritual truth to it, a spiritual power to it, and I'm going to say it, and you're probably not going to like it. Watch this. You're as big of a sinner as I am. And it don't matter who you are. Think of that. So if you judge me based on my sin, sorry about that deal, you're just as guilty as I am. Say amen to that. Now here's something more to make you happy. You're just as forgiven as I am. By the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the mercy of our God, we're forgiven. And that constitutes our praise. You ought to praise God because He was merciful. Listen to this. You woke up today. You've got air to breathe. You was able to come to church. I don't understand why people say I have to go to church. No, you don't. I get to go. I'm so excited. I was telling Haley earlier this week, if Sunday don't hurry up, I just don't think I'm going to make it. Honestly, I'm serious. I don't know. I cannot figure out to save my life how people miss church. And I've said before, I've told Dawn this, I think. I'm too weak to miss. It devastates me. God don't call the strong to do what I do. He chooses the weakest because we have to have it. If I don't preach, I'd dwindle up and die. Joe Barrett's the same way. Any preacher that's worth their salt's the same way. God don't choose the strong things. He chooses the weak things. It's what the book says. See? And there's a lot of people, apparently it's a lot stronger than I am. I can't miss. God gives me mercy to be able to get here. And because of that, that should be the constitution of our praise. In this chapter, we'll learn as well that His wonderful works to the children of men is the constitution of our praise. Three elements here that goes into you praising God. He's a good God. He's merciful. And His works are good to us. Did you hear that? Now, watch this. Listen, in the last month or so, and I'm not going to qualify. I'm just going to say, in the last month or so, I've went through surgery. I've had two little surgery, one big surgery, one little surgery. I've had COVID and a stomach virus all going on at the same time. Now, watch, when they cut out some of your stomach and put it back together, and then you get a stomach virus, that's not a good place to be, folks. I'm telling you, it's just not a good place to be. Okay? Now, and watch this. There's been moments that I've said at the house, moments, and catch myself saying, now what in the world's going on here, Lord? Where are you? You know what God reminds me of? How good He's been to me. Through this whole process. Through this entire process. I was told by one doctor, boy, it's a good thing your appendix busted. Seems to be a weird thing. But can I tell you, it wasn't weird. It needed to happen so that other things could be taken care of. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
She said, we'd have never known that you had cancer if that thing hadn't have busted, and we'd have never caught it until it was too late. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
You see how good God is? Everybody say amen to that. So this is the constitution of our praise. Even those things that comes against us that seems to be bad, God takes what Satan means for evil and uses it for good. I've been able to sit at the house and just dig into the Word of God and write and do what I need to do that God has called me to do as a result of this. I don't know how it's all going to end up and how it's all going to finish up, but I know this. I know that each day is a gift from the Father, and His works toward me are wonderful and good. Let me point this out to you. Verse 2 declares that this should be our speech. God is good. God's mercy endures forever. God has delivered me from the hand of my enemy. That's what He says when He says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Verse 3 says we've been gathered from every land, from every place. This indicates no circumstances beyond the scope of the power of praise. I'm trying to hurry through this because I want you to understand what's happening here. Verse 4 declares that without the power of praise, we're left to walk alone with no settled company or family of people. I read to you the text. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Now, here's what I want to kind of focus on for a minute, if we can, is Psalm 107, verse 4. And this is where it begins to build something. The constitution of our praise outlines the power of praise in the warfare that we're engaged in the spirit world, and as well as the manifestation of that warfare to individuals on the earth. That's an important thing that I want you to hear and that I want you to know. Let me say it again because I want you to hear it. Everybody say, I'm listening. The constitution of praise that we just outlined there outlines the power of praise, in the warfare that is we're engaging in the spirit world. So, everybody say, power of praise. Matter of fact, I want to do this in a teaching way so that maybe it'll find root in us. Say this with me. There's power in praise. Now, can I tell you, if it's a weapon of warfare, that means that praising God is not about how you feel. Biggest truth you'll come across in the Word of God concerning praise is that praise is independent of emotion. Do you know most people go to church and they have this attitude? When something moves me, when something stirs me, I'll lift my hands. When something moves me, when something stirs me, then I'll say amen. Here's the violation of that concerning the Word of God. The psalmist said this, I'll enter His courts with thanksgiving and praise. Do you hear what I say? Y'all didn't hear me. Watch. Here's what it means. Praising God is independent of your emotional structure. God didn't say, praise me when you feel good. God didn't say, praise me when you feel stirred. God said, you start praising me and I'll inhabit those praises, then you'll feel good. Do you hear that? Listen, you want to start feeling better? I dare you to try this. It's been the best medicine I've had over the last 6 weeks. I promise you what I'm telling you is the truth. Muster up enough energy to walk outdoors, get in your front yard, and hold your hands up like this to the Lord. And say, God, I don't necessarily need to know what's going on, but I know this. I know You're a good God. And I love You. I'm Yours. My life belongs to You. And whatever You decide to do with it is all right by me. I just want to be a vessel of honor.
Amen, Jim.
You start doing that, watch pain start leaving your body.
Amen.
You say, no, absolutely so. Watch discouragement start leaving your body. Can I tell you one of the things God showed me when I had my hands up one day, not too long back? I did. I finally mustered up enough energy to get up off the couch. I was hurting. I was sick. I was nauseated. I didn't feel good. I couldn't hold food down. And I walked outside and I walked up right over to the side of the house in the woods. There's a patch of woods between me and Carl's house. And I put my hands up and I started just praising the Lord like that. And here's what God showed me. Now listen, y'all ain't going to believe this. I ain't going to get nowhere again today. This is awful. I'm just now getting started. That's where my starting point was. But listen to this. Here's what God showed me while my hands was up. You ready for this? I seen a warfare in the second heavens. The assignment was for me. And here's what the assignment was. An old, dirty spirit of discouragement was sent to get me. Following discouragement was a higher principality of depression. And depression and discouragement was arguing with each other because my hands was up. I could see it as plain. God showed it to me. See, my hands went up and I started praising God, and discouragement had to release. And depression started saying to discouragement, I can't get him if you don't get him first. Now you say there's no truth to that. If you read 2 Chronicles chapter 20 that our pastor preached on, that's what happens when you start praising God. The enemy turns on itself. Demons destroy themselves. I could see it as plain could be. Listen, when a spirit is assigned to attack you, when a spirit is designed to get you, that's not the only one. There is a multitude of spirits coming behind it, one stronger than the previous one. And if you give in to one, then here comes the next one. Here comes the next one. And there's a way to break that. Guess how? Here's how you do it. I just believe I'll just start praising God. Oh, I don't have a whole lot of strength to get my arms up, but I'm going to get them up anyway. And if I can't lift my arms, I'll lift my voice. And if I can't lift my voice, I'll bow to the ground and just start worshiping God and tell Him how beautiful He is and how lovely He is. And I'll tell Him how wonderful He's been to me. And that initiation of praise destroys the enemy. Y'all are not hearing me. See, it's not about how you feel. You come in the house of God, your main objective ought to be, I'm going to praise God. Well, wait a minute, what if somebody talks about me for me? Let them talk about you. That ain't nothing. That's little bitty. Right? Get them big old ugly hands in the air and worship God with everything you've got. When it comes time to sing a song, sing off key if you have to, but beller her out. Do you hear what I said? It's all about God. Ain't got nothing to do with you. Listen, find a little corner in the sanctuary and go to praying. Pray hell out of here and every demon off of this place. So praise God how God's put it in you to praise Him. I've seen some people that'll just, all they can do is cry like Dawn. Right? Listen, them tears are tears of praise. I've seen some people that when they shed tears, they laugh at the same time. I love that crowd when they laughing and crying all at the same time. And then there's some just shouts. They just shout. Every expression and demonstration of praise adds strength to the armor. I don't share this about Mark. I have to. Years ago, Mark was playing the piano at the church. We had a big old choir and they was up singing, Here Come the Lord. And we had some new people started coming to the church and they were a little bit radical. They just praised God. I mean, they didn't care, and they didn't care what Mark thought about it neither. They just didn't care. We had this lady, she's in heaven now. I preached her funeral. Hadn't been too awful long back. Preached her funeral down here in the building in Statesville. She was part of a team called the Pink Ladies. Linda hung around them. Carolyn Durham was her name. Carolyn was up in the choir and we was singing a song called I'm on the winning side. I love that song. Yeah. I'm on the winning side. Yes, I'm on the winning side. I got to tell you, that choir was a belling her out and Carolyn got full. Now, when Carolyn got full, she lost herself. She had no idea who she was, where she was, or who was around. She was kind of like my grandmother in that sense. Well, Mark was a little intimidated. He was a little timid, just a little, you know. He was raised like we all were in a traditional setting where you composed yourself and did everything, bless God, in decency and in order. That kind of thing. Same kind of background we all grew up in. Carolyn didn't adhere to what tradition called order. She come right down by the piano and she cut a dancing fit, boy. I mean to tell you, she was a twirling and a hollering and a screaming. Looked up at old Melvin Hawks. Melvin Hawks took a running spell on top of one of the pews. This man was in his 60s at the time. How he balanced on that beam, he could have been an Olympic star. And I did start praying then. I was saying, Lord God, I pray he is in the spirit, because if he ain't, he's fixing to tumble and fall. People started just going crazy. Old Mark just bent his head under the piano. He didn't know what to say. It was so funny. I can't laugh, that hurts. But I got to tell you, old Mark, he was just absolutely, I mean, he was bent over. He kept playing. He didn't miss a note. He kept playing. Yeah. But God, man, people was doing all kinds of crazy things. Let me tell you something, folks. We need that kind of warfare again.
Yeah.
We need that kind of warfare again. God, give me some people, but let me be around some people that's no longer enslaved by the chains of tradition and ceremonialism, but they'll just praise God.
Amen.
You say, I don't like the way they praise God. Well, leave them alone. You praise God the way you praise God.
Amen.
Well, the way they praise God makes me feel uncomfortable. It ain't you we're praising. It's the Lord we're praising. Mm-hmm. Say amen to that.
Amen.
But they're distracting me. Then get your eyes off of them. Get your eyes back on Jesus. You won't even see them.
Yeah. There you go.
Amen.
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 We've got to get back to praising God. Listen, let me tell you, the only way you can really understand what I'm saying to you is to at least, I'm going to at least get this one line out. Okay. In Psalm 104, it's described who these wanderers are. Look at 104 again. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. Now, I'm going to give you a literal thing here, because this is, you need to have a little understanding here. Hebrews 11:37, I think, describes some of these wanderers from Psalm 107. And you got to be careful. If you read Psalm 106, there's the story about the children of Israel wandering in the wilderness. But I believe in Psalm 107, it's different than that. Because in Psalm 107, if you understand, they're called from all over the world, from the east, west, north, and south. They're gathered together. Look at what Hebrews 11:37 says. It says they were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. These are the wanderers of Psalm 107. It's those that are outside of the cities of refuge and the cities of sanctuary. Ezekiel 20:35 says this, "And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people. And there will I plead with you face to face," God said. Here's my point. Those that are unwilling to praise God for His goodness, for His mercy, for His wonderful works to the children of men, here's where you find yourself. You find yourself wandering in a wilderness. You find yourself with no home, no community, no city, the Scripture says. No city. See, watch, the difference in the text here, what the city indicates is provision. You find yourself with no provision. You're a wanderer. My, to the flesh, how that appeals to us and allures us. Listen, people crave solitude, whether they know it or not. Did you know that? People crave solitude. You know why? Nobody. Nobody. Hear what I'm telling you. Nobody can climb into the place that you're presently walking. Nobody can come in there with you. If you haven't been to that place yet, you'll get there. There's biblical precedent for this. When Jesus went into the Garden of Gethsemane, everybody say, I'm listening. When Jesus went into the Garden of Gethsemane, here's what he did. He took all 12 of his disciples with him. He told 9 of them, you stay where you are. He took Peter, James, and John with him deeper into the garden. And he told Peter, James, and John, he said, I need to share this with you. Apparently he didn't want to share it with all 12. There was only 3 that he could share this with. He said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Pray with me. And then Jesus left them and journeyed alone into the garden. And there he said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. You're going to face things that no one else on the earth can walk with you through. Watch this. I'm fixing to go through chemo. My brother went through, I don't know how much chemo and radiation he went through. 33 chemos and 43 radiation treatments. Can I tell y'all something? The cancer he had was designed to take him out. He's a living miracle. He's not supposed to be here.
I think he's done passed his deadline.
Yeah, that's right. He has. And he's living on bonus time. He's living on miraculously given God time. See? But watch this. He's went through that. I'm fixing to go through that. He can't walk with me in this. You'd think he can, but he can't. I couldn't walk with him where he was at. My Aunt Carolyn, she's called me a couple times and she walked through this cancer thing. She can't walk with me through this. As much as my wife loves me, and I don't deny that she does, I can't deny it. She can't walk with me where I'm at. There's only one that can. And you know what he said? He said, I've been touched by the feeling of your infirmities.
Amen.
And I'll never leave you. And I'll never forsake you. Even to the end of the earth, I'll go with you.
Amen.
Watch this. I'm no longer a wanderer. My hands is up in praise to Almighty God, because I know that's what defeats the enemy. I know that getting a case of happy feet, if I could do it, I'd do it in praise to God. David danced before the Lord. That may offend somebody's religious spirit. It'll just have to. It's still in the Word of God. God's people sang before the Lord. They shouted before the Lord. And the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Don't you dare sit quietly by. You come in here and you praise God because He is worthy of your praise. We'd all be in hell and dead today if it wasn't for the glory of our God.
Amen.
You hear that? I was talking to Joey on the phone not too long back and shared with him about Bob Stamey. You know about Bob Stamey. Tragic accident. He was trapped in his loader and his loader slid off into a lagoon and he was trapped in there and died. And when I heard that, I thought about Joey. Caleb and Dylan and all of those that work on these tree farms, run these loaders, and how easy it could be to get tipped over and all of those things. And I know, listen, old Joey would get on a bulldozer and do all kinds of stupid stuff if Wendy ain't around especially. That's why she has sticks close to him, keep him alive. Can I tell you something? In that moment, I knew this. Listen, it's by the glory of God, not by your skill, that you're even alive. It's by the grace and mercy of God that y'all are even alive, Roger. It's by the grace and the mercy of God that some crazy truck driver hadn't run over both of us. It's by the grace and the mercy of God, Odie, that you stay safe on the road. Yes. Dave, it's by the grace and mercy of God that you hadn't took wires and shorted them together and electrocuted you. Well, that may have been what happened to him. I'm not sure. Y'all hear what I'm saying to you? Yeah. Listen, in a second, you can be taken out.
Yes, you can.
You better make haste and be quick to get your hands up to praise God, because he's been good to you. And that's how we destroy the devil. And that's how Grace Place becomes more than just a meeting place. We become an army of God on the front lines of the battle that can knock down the gates of hell. Y'all are not hearing what I'm saying. You can knock down the gates of hell by simply praising the Lord. That's what Psalm 107 is all about. We're going to learn more about it. There's a whole lot more. I prepared way too much. I have too much time on my hands now. That's all right. God knows where we're going. Stay in Psalm 107. Let's learn. As we dig deep, we're going to learn all these demonstrations of praise. We're going to learn how to praise God. Amen?
Amen.
Lord Jesus, bless, I pray, your word. Teach us truth, we'll never forget. We'll give you praise. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.